His name again. Oh, He is here. Just listen closely. Hear Him calling out your name. He is here. Yes, you can touch Him. You will never be the same once more. Yes, hallelujah, He is here, amen, He is here, holy, holy, I will bless His name again, He is here, listen closely, hear Him call. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands.
Lift up your hands and love Him this evening. We love you, Jesus.
To the Lord, we're singing out. Yes, I love you, Lord. We're singing out. You, Lord,
let's stand and sing that chorus all together.
I love you, the bride is singing out. I love you, Lord, singing out. I love you, Lord,
for His presence. Amen. It's good to come to church and tell Him that we love Him. Not just at church, but it's always good to start the service with telling Him how much we love and appreciate Him. God bless you. This is 244 in your hymn book. Looking forward to a jubilee in heaven. Amen.
Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. He'll be coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share. And And what rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise. They're headed for that jubilee yonder in the skies. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. It seems that now I almost see all the just ahead, in the twinkling of an eye, change within to be. All the living saints apply to that jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior. And with all that heavenly host, we began to sing. We're singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. And millions there will join the song, with them we shall be. Praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee.
Shake hands this evening. Change with them to be. All the living saints apply to that jubilee. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. For some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. He'll be coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise. We'll be headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory,
than he that is in the world. Satan's like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro. He's seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us so. And many souls have been to fall in some weak hour. But God has promised us today His overcoming power. rushing mighty wind. It blew into the upper room. It baptized all of them. And with a power greater than any earthly foe. Oh, I'm so glad I've got it too. I'm gonna let the whole world know. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Yes, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me.
Well, on the day of Pentecost, rushing mighty wind, it blew into that upper room and baptized all of them with a power greater than any earthly foe. Oh, and I'm so glad I've got it too. I want to let the whole world know that greater is he. Oh, aren't you thankful for that tonight? Oh, greater is he that is in me than he that... One more time together. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen. You thankful for that tonight?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you richly. I want to announce, Lord willing, I apologize that I haven't been announcing it earlier, but we will be having a youth Bible study Thursday, the 26th at 7:30. Lord willing, Brother Trevor will be speaking at that, so we'll be looking forward to that Thursday, the 26th at 7:30. And then I have a couple of testimonies that I wanted to share. Got a phone call on Monday night from Brother Josh Leak, and they had to rush Hadessa to the hospital. She was having problems breathing and had started turning blue, and they were very concerned. And they took her to the hospital, and they ran all kinds of tests. And I went over there late that night and prayed for her. And Sister Leah had texted Sister Rebecca today and said that she actually had another one of those spells at the hospital before I came and prayed for her, where her heart rate dropped and she was pale. But she said after Brother Nathan came and prayed for her at the hospital and gave her a prayer cloth, she never had another one. And the doctors also said they found that her liver count was up a bit, so they started checking for infections in that area. They actually started her on an antibiotic for an infection, but we prayed again that they wouldn't find anything wrong. And the next day with the results, everything they had checked for her was negative. She's doing great now. Praise God, and thanks for all the prayers. So we're happy to hear that. Amen. And then also we had a picture that was texted to us today of little Peyton. And she was standing up with her physical therapist for the first time she's ever been able to stand. So we want to praise the Lord for that. And got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord tonight. Sister Crystal Wright, she's sick with a bad cold, so we want to remember her in prayer. And then also Brother Kyle and Sister Kevin and Dahlia leave tomorrow morning for Texas. They felt led to move back there and are building a house there. So I want to remember them in prayer for traveling mercies. And also for Brother Wade and Sister Heidi, as they're, I'm sure, going to have a hard time with their children and grandbaby not being as close to them as they're used to. So we want to remember them in prayer tonight. And then also Brother Robert Marrero. He's a pastor from Brooklyn, New York, had requested prayer for his mother, who's very ill. And Brother Layton requested prayer for Sister Faith Lunsford. She's been diagnosed with breast cancer and has to have chemo and radiation and needs our prayers. So let's remember her in prayer tonight as well. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Trevor, would you come tonight? Lead us in a word of prayer.
Just go before the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're grateful for you to bring us out. Lord, that we have the ability to stand and walk, to breathe, Lord. The many blessings that you've given to us, Lord. And Lord, the freedom to come and worship. Lord, we take it for granted so often, but as we were just looking on the website, Lord, about those believers there in Iran, Lord. They're in prison tonight because they're enemies against the state and that they're a national security risk because they believe in you, Lord. Lord, and then we look at our problems and God, we're just so humble that you would put us here and give us what we have, Lord. So, Father, as a group of believers tonight, we just want to tell you we love you. We want to tell you thank you for the blessings that you've given to us. Lord, may we be mindful of those things and count those blessings that we have, Father. And, Lord, may we as a group of believers come together and pray for those that are in prison because of the faith of Jesus Christ. Father, that you'd relieve their burdens, Lord, and Father, that you would bring conviction upon those that would put them in a prison, Lord. That you would, Lord, that you'd make their stand a testimony. And oh, may it defeat the devil's purpose and may many, many more come into the kingdom of God because of what these believers are going through in their stand and testimony for the word of God. Lord, for those that are sick, Lord, touch them. We believe that you're a mighty God. You're a prayer-answering God, Lord. Lord, you translate services into another language, Father.
Right.
Oh, God, how you're alive and well amongst us. If we could just be mindful of your presence. If we could understand what the Word is doing in our midst. Oh, God, open our eyes. Lord, we love you. Come and be with us in this service. Lord, anoint the Word as it goes forth. And may it come and really move in our hearts. We ask it now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. The brothers will please come at this time. This is a 36 in your hymn book.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing.
bless you. Sure enjoyed what Brother Trevor shared with us Sunday evening. Who's been working on their memorization? I have, but I have not conquered it. But every time I read it, I'm so blessed. Since it is the blood of God, it is perfect blood. And if the perfect blood is loosing us from the power and bondage and defilement of sin, then the loosing is perfect and complete.
Amen.
Man, that should make us shout.
Amen.
My favorite thing to sing about is the blood. And since I'm the song leader, I guess we'll sing about the blood tonight. Let's try this. Help me. Oh, the blood that my Jesus shed. It was way back on Calvary. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Oh, to the highest mountain. Oh, it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength. Why don't we stand and sing, and it's time. Oh, for it. Oh, and it flows when I'm down in my valley. Oh, it's that blood that gives me strength. Gives me strength from day to day. I know it will never.
Amen. Aren't you thankful for the blood?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I forgot my handkerchief tonight. Was running late and trying to finish the sermon notes and get ready. And so I asked Brother Furman to see if he could find me a handkerchief. And I had asked some of the brothers, and they didn't have one. So being a nurse, he gave me a sterile handkerchief from from work. So if I preach hard enough to soak this tonight, Brother Hoover, we'll have a service tonight. So God bless you tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, if you'd turn with me. Hebrews chapter 11.
Praise the Lord.
And I just want to read verse 1 to begin with tonight. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's just bow our heads together this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before your throne, Lord, as we've sang and we've testified, Lord, that we believe that your blood will never lose its power. Lord, that the strength and power in the name of Jesus is still as fresh as when you rose Easter morning. Lord, you haven't got any weaker. Lord, you haven't changed any, but you're still the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. We see you coming on the scene and vindicating that, Lord, with your mighty works that you manifest in this age, Lord. I just ask that you'd be with us tonight, be with this service. Lord, may you anoint me, Lord, just to speak whatever you would have me to say. Lord, I just ask you to anoint the hearers, Lord, that, Lord, you would anoint them to receive, Lord, tonight. May it be something that'll quicken our faith. May it be something that'll bring us into a closer relationship with you, that when we go out of here, Father, we can say, didn't our hearts burn within us as we talked for a while about you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. I wish Brother Layton had told me it was humble night. I would have dressed down tonight, too. We had a sister text and say, oh, I wish tonight was humble night. And I think Brother Layton must have been in the same spirit and same line of thought. So I guess we're all in one heart and one accord tonight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want to look at this thought that we looked at last Wednesday night on looking in the wrong dimension. And we looked at it last week, how that when Elijah had went beyond Jordan, how that the sons of the prophets had come to Elisha and wanted to send out a search party, and he said, don't do it. But they pressed anyhow, and they went to look and found that they couldn't find him. And Elisha recognized that they were looking in the wrong dimension. It wasn't that Elijah was dead. It was just that he was in a different dimension that they weren't able to recognize. And so tonight, by faith, we want to look and not just be earthbound tonight in our thinking and in our sight, but we want to look beyond into another dimension, as Brother Trevor mentioned in his prayer. And for those of you that maybe wasn't here Sunday morning or Sunday night and didn't hear the testimony, Brother Teo from Ivory Coast was here with us Sunday morning, and he had been here last Wednesday night. And the other brothers, Brother Chris from Rwanda and Brother Godswill from Ghana and Brother Stephen from Ghana, their primary language is English, and they were so excited about the service Wednesday night, and they were testifying to him after the service and back at the hotel and things about how the Lord was moving. But Brother Tao's primary language is French, and so he wasn't able to really absorb much of the service at all. And so when he got here Sunday morning, he was praying in his pew, and he asked God, he said, Lord, just let me be able to understand the minister this morning. And he prayed that twice, and Brother Furman came out and sang, and he couldn't really understand the songs, and I came out and made the announcements, and he couldn't really understand that. And about the time I was reading the scripture and began to minister, he said he felt something come up behind him, some being came up behind him, and he said he went to turn and look, and a voice spoke to him and said, no, you just focus on what the minister is saying. And as he did, this supernatural being behind him begins to interpret everything that was being said into French, his own language, for the entirety of the service. And then he came up for prayer and was asking to be prayed for at the end of service. When he came up, he could understand me, what I said to him in the prayer and before the prayer, and he went back to his seat, and then he couldn't hardly understand anything for the rest of the service after that. So we recognize that there's still a book of Acts being written. Amen. Today. Amen. Not because Nathan Bryant was here, but because Jesus Christ is here. And now the brothers from Africa aren't here tonight to pull like they've been pulling the last few services, so you're going to have to pick up the slack, and you come with the same expectations that they came with, and we'll just have church tonight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Something that we can look beyond, and something that beyond just the tangible. Now, there's no way, if we just look to the scene, that we could explain what happened there with our brother Sunday morning. But we don't just look at the scene, but by faith we're able to look at the unseen. And Brother Branham makes a statement in God Testifying of His Gifts in 1952. He said, "That's where I live. A big part of my life is in another dimension that the world knows nothing about." Oh my, if we could just join him tonight and live a big portion of our life in a dimension that the world knows nothing about. You say, "Well, Brother Nathan, he's speaking of visions and things. And if God didn't bless us to see visions, how can we live?" I don't want you to let the devil get you to just stop there tonight. But we're going to look a little further and find out that he's not just talking about visions, but he's talking about an atmosphere that a believer that can live in that the world has absolutely no idea about. As we looked at, I believe it was Sunday morning, about a perfect peace, and how that Brother Branham, when he was standing there and he went to cross the field, and you forgive me, I messed up a little bit Sunday morning. I went back to listen to a little bit of the service, and I made the statement there that he was going to pray for a black man. But when you go back and actually read the story, it wasn't a black man that he was going to pray for, but it was a black man that had been killed by this bull that was there in Henryville. He was going to pray for a man, but the black man that he's referring to was the man that had been killed by the bull. And he throws his gun into the truck there, and he goes across this field. He climbs over the fence, and as Brother Billy Paul told us, he said, "My, we didn't even know how to cross a farmer's fence until a prophet came and told us." And for those of you that don't know what he's talking about, Brother Branham said, when you go to cross a farmer's fence, he said, you don't step on it in the middle and break it down, the barbed wire or electric wire, whatever it is, but you go over where that the wire is stapled to the post, and you climb over the post so it doesn't tear down the man's fence. So he said he crossed over the fence, and when he got into the field there, here this bull begins to recognize that there's somebody in the field besides him. And so it begins to charge at Brother Branham. But Brother Branham there, his initial human instinct is to look around and see, is there a tree to get up into, or what can I do here? But he recognizes in his own ability, there's nothing that he can do. He can't run to the fence fast enough. There's no tree to climb. There's no hole to hide in. So he recognizes his human ability is inadequate. But all, if we could just get to that same place tonight, to recognize that our human ability so many times is inadequate. But I'm thankful tonight that unlike so many people that they get depressed and they commit suicide and they wind up in a gutter somewhere with needles in their veins and taking all kinds of drugs or drinking alcohol to try to quench themselves, when they recognize that their inabilities are not enough to conquer what needs to be conquered. But I'm thankful that there's a group of people tonight that recognize even though we're incapable, even though we have inabilities, yet we're not depending in ourselves, but we're depending on one that is able. And so he begins to have this perfect peace that he says settles down around him. And now all of a sudden, instead of hating the bull, instead of wanting to reach and find his gun that was back in the truck, and now all of a sudden he feels sorry for this. He has compassion. He said, "Oh my, I disturbed him. I'm in his territory." And so he begins to have compassion. Now what it was, Brother Branham geographically was in the same spot that he had been when he reached for the gun. Geographically, he was in the same spot where he had been when he looked around for the tree or looked around for the fence, but there was an atmosphere that he has entered into now, and the bull's still charging because the bull hasn't entered into the atmosphere yet. The prophet has entered into the atmosphere, but it didn't stop the bull yet because the bull hasn't entered into the same atmosphere that he's in. The bull is still running. Maybe you've entered into an atmosphere. Maybe you have a peace about your life. Maybe you have a peace about your family, even though they're still running because they haven't entered into the same atmosphere that you've entered into.
All night. What was it? There was a peace because he's entered into an atmosphere where he can have a peace. And now all of a sudden the bull, when it gets close enough to where it gets into that atmosphere, it locks up its hooves and stops and looks around all depleted because it recognizes it's entered into something that it's never felt before. Maybe you have a testimony like that. Maybybe you were running. Maybe you were bullheaded. Maybe you were trying to do this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden, you entered into an atmosphere that you'd never felt before. Brother Branham says again in Why I'm a Holy Roller, 1953, he says, you're living in two different worlds at the same time. You're in a dimension that the world knows nothing about. There's no way to explain it. How could you explain it to somebody when you're walking down through the city streets and, oh my, the rock and roll music blaring and the people bobbing their heads and getting ready to get drunk on a Friday night and yelling and cursing at one another and blowing their horns at one another and road rage and anxiety and everything all kinds of depressions and all kinds of terrible moods and negativity, and you're just walking right down through the middle of it with your head up singing, I'm one of them, I'm one of them. Geographically in the same city, am I walking right down the same street that they're walking down, going into the same stores that they're going into, working at the same job that they're working at, going to the same school that they're working at? But how is it that you can walk through, like Brother Branham talked about the man that they had brought over from Africa as a slave, and when the slave owners begin to come down and trade back and forth and buy slaves, the man said, I want to buy that slave right there. There's something that's different about him. Now, he's on the same plantation, Brother Hoover. He's eating the same food as the other slaves. He's clothed with the same clothes and chains, and he's whipped with the same whip, and he reports to the same slave owner, and everything as far as his earthly condition is exactly the same as these other men, but there's something about it. He's not a boss over the rest of them. They don't feed him better than the rest of them. They don't treat him better than the rest of them, but there's something about it. While all these others grumbling and complaining, they have to whip them to get them to work, he's got his head up and he's just going along happy. And they said, sir, what is different about him then? He said, I wondered the same thing for many years until I began to do a little research, and I found that way over in the homeland, this young man is a child of the king. Didn't matter that he was a stranger and a sojourner in a strange land, but deep in his heart he recognized, no matter what my earthly condition, no matter what my circumstance, I'm a child of the king, and so I'm going to act like a child of the king. My, that's how that we can live in a different atmosphere. That's how we can be on the same job with the same boss, and maybe everybody else there hates the man, cusses him out behind his back and does all kinds of terrible things. And oh my, they come in with a bad mood, and they come in with a migraine from being hungover, and they come in with addictions and all kinds of things. And you come in and you sit down and you're just at peace, and you put in your headphones and begin to listen to some gospel music, or you begin to listen to a tape and you're sitting there just typing away and smiling, and they look at you like you're crazy, and here they are about to lose their mind. Why? Because you're living in an atmosphere that the world knows nothing about. Amen. Sirs, we would see Jesus, 1957. He said, my soul lifts up into an atmosphere that you can't explain. I've seen it set congregations electrified. Oh my, if we could just get lifted up into that atmosphere that he's talking about tonight. Again, in Divine Love in 1957, he says it's the atmosphere that counts. Let this little handful of people sitting here tonight get in the perfect atmosphere. Watch what takes place. There will not be a feeble among one in our midst. The cripples will walk. The deaf will see, the deaf will hear, the dumb will speak without prayer or anything. It's the atmosphere. It's the atmosphere. It's not the building. It's not just about the man that's in the platform. It's not about the song or the verse or the quote. It's not about the emotions. It's not about whether we feel good or whether we don't feel good. It's an atmosphere that we enter into. Now, Brother Branham said that we're miniature, we're amateur creators, that we can create this atmosphere around us. And when you come to church, you can bring your old negative atmosphere and sit beside somebody, and they've got to fight through church to try to get a blessing because that negative atmosphere, you're just sitting there, bless God, I'm not clapping my hands tonight. Bless God, I'm not amen. And I don't like the direction that he's going with this. Bless God, I don't like the tape that he picked. I don't like the brother that he had in. I'm just going to sit here on my hands and mind. That atmosphere will just begin to ooze out in all directions, and the person sitting beside you will think, goodness gracious, what is it about tonight that seems like I just can't break through to something? And they've got to fight through and try to get into an atmosphere, and maybe the pastor and the song leader said, goodness gracious, what is it about this whole section over here that they just, what, the other side of the congregation is smiling and happy and clapping, and this other side over here looks like somebody fed them sauerkraut and stole their best friend, and what is it? It's an atmosphere that's being created.
Right.
Or you can come with a positive attitude and create a positive atmosphere and come in and say, you know what? I'm tired and I don't feel like grazing my hands, but God deserves the glory anyhow.
Amen.
Amen. I had a bad day, but whether I had a bad day or a good day, he's good anyhow.
Amen.
And what is it? It's an atmosphere that we create. It's not something that the pastor brings in his briefcase, but it's an atmosphere that individuals bring to church with them. And sometimes we don't recognize the impact that it can have, the attitude that we walk in that back door with, but it can have an impact not only on ourselves, but the person sitting in the pew beside us, the song leader, the pastor, the different ones. Brother Branham said that woman got to screaming in the service while he was preaching, and the man said, oh, Brother Branham said, I was enjoying the service till she got to scream and said, I don't know how you can preach with that. He said, you don't understand. It's harder for me to preach when they're not doing that.
Right.
He said he used to have an old dog that was a coon dog. And he said, you know, he'd go tell him, he'd say, sick him, Fritz. And he said, didn't matter what it was, he'd go after anything, he said, except an old skunk. But he said, oh my, he said, even a skunk, if I just kind of coaxed him along and urged him a little bit, said, sick him, Fritz, said he'd go after it anyhow. And he said, the biggest skunk that I know is the devil. And he said, if you amen out there, that's the same as sick him, boy. So let's sick the devil tonight, all right?
Amen.
It's the atmosphere, he says. That's how 25,000 people was healed at one prayer in Africa.
Amen.
When they seen the Lord do something, it created an atmosphere and they stepped into it.
Yeah.
Oh, if we could just step into that atmosphere tonight, what could take place? We've seen God do the miraculous. We have testimonies to share.
Amen.
The one tonight about the brother with God just supernaturally interpreting into his own language. What a testimony. What a reminder that the book of Acts is still being fulfilled. But that's not the only testimony that we have. We have people sitting here tonight that they used to have crooked spines and now they're straight. We have people sitting here that their legs used to be 2 inches shorter and now they're the right length. And my, just different things on and on and on that God has done. Healing of diseases and sicknesses and delivering from addictions and
Amen.
Providing financially right at the critical moment when it was necessary, not because somebody whispered to somebody else, but because God knew all about it.
Amen.
And so when we hear those things, it should create an atmosphere in our midst. And then if we can just step into that atmosphere and say, that wasn't just for Brother So-and-so across the aisle. That wasn't just for Sister So-and-so in the other pew. But I can step into that same atmosphere and receive what I have need of.
Hallelujah.
Brother Branham says in Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel, 1963. He said, the things that you think on, the things that you do, the actions, the things you talk about creates an atmosphere. The things that we dwell on, the music that we listen to, the pictures that we look at, the movies that we allow in our homes, the conversations that we have around the dinner table, the conversations that we have on the phone, the social media that we look at, and the things that we respond to, and how we react to actions, it creates an atmosphere around us. Brother Branham tells us many times, as we've looked at before in regards to this, he said, you know, there's something about it. Some people, there's just something about them. You long to be around them because of the atmosphere that that they create. He said, then there's other people, no doubt they're good people, no doubt they're good Christians, but something about it, the atmosphere that they create around themselves, always something negative to say to somebody. Always something to run somebody else down or criticize somebody. Brother Branham, I heard him one time, he said, oh, don't let me be a, you know, wind up that my end is to be an old cantankerous person. Just somebody that's always got something negative to say and always somebody with a critical spirit. You know, he admitted to the people there in 1963, he said, I've had a critical spirit. And he said, I need the Lord to deliver me of that because he said, I can't help the people if I'm constantly critical of them. Now, if a prophet of God could be honest enough to stand and admit that, and if Satan would try to attack him with those kind of things, and he wasn't above admitting that, yes, these are things that I combat and I deal with, how much more 50-something years later should we be able to admit, hey, I have to stay prayed through or I'll get a critical spirit. And I'll begin to look at Brother so-and-so and think, why did he do that? And why did he say that? And I don't like the vernacular that he uses. And he said something that I think is a little slang that I don't agree with. It's not really a curse word, but it's just something I didn't like. And how can he call himself a Christian? This brother over here, he went and he did this, and he fellowshiped with this one. He wore this color shirt, and he rode this brand of car, and he did this, and he did that. And if we're not careful, we begin to get a critical spirit, and then every time we come to church, we're nitpicking somebody or something or the songs or the song leader or the musicians or the pastor. And then you get to a spot where it don't matter what anybody does, you're going to criticize it. Somebody else can come in with something positive. Oh, didn't Brother so-and-so do to get it? Well, you know, he's no Brother so-and-so. Didn't Sister so-and-so sing a good... Oh, well, she didn't do as good a job as Sister so-and-so over here. And it's just always something critical and negative. And then you wonder why your phone starts to ring less and less and less. It's because people are trying to obey the word and stay in a positive atmosphere. And they know that every time they get around somebody, that every time they're around them, it's death and destruction and torment and the world's, you know, just chicken little. The sky's falling in and oh my, don't drink milk because you'll get this and don't eat eggs or you get that. And just always something critical, negative. And they stay in the news and in this atmosphere to where everything that's coming out, oh, did you hear that Russia might be doing this and this one might be doing that. And constantly a spirit of fear and anxiety and negativity. And you come away feeling like you want to check yourself into a nursing home when you get away from them. Right. It's the atmosphere that they create around them. Result of decisions, 1955, and you get an atmosphere where people are disbelieving and fussing and stewing among one another and arguing about whether they belong to this church or that. You'll never hatch out Christians. That's right, you can't do it. Amen. Why? Because the atmosphere is wrong. The atmosphere is wrong. I wonder sometimes why the Lord has blessed our church like he has. Because let's just be honest tonight. I'm not saying it to be humble. There's a lot of brothers that could preach circles around me in this message. There's a lot of brothers that could teach way deeper than I can around this message. There's a lot of brothers that can sing better and play better and comb their hair better and brush their teeth better and do all kinds of things better than I can do. So we recognize it's not about the person. It's about the atmosphere that's created. And when there's an atmosphere that everything is just negativity and bless God, we're going to take this service and prove Brother so-and-so wrong. And we're going to take the next service and we're going to prove this group wrong. And bless God, we're going to take the next service and we're going to teach so deep that we're going to make everybody else look like they're idiots because they don't know it as deep as we know it. And when it's constantly about lifting up an ego or a personality or an opinion or a doctrine or an idea, what does it do? It's an atmosphere where Christians can't be hatched out. Because it's constantly division and contention. And Paul had to come in and straighten out the Corinthian church. Oh my, I feel like sometimes we need to straighten out our own churches and say, goodness, get all the negativity out. Amen. Get all the contradictions and the upset and the fussings and the stewings. And our church is better than your church. And our church is bigger than your church. And our pastor's smarter than your pastor. And our song leader's this and that. Oh my, it's not about the person unless you're talking about the person.
Amen.
Amen. It's about him tonight. It's about creating an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can be welcome. Not an atmosphere where we're so self-righteous that we know it all, or where we're so right that we've proved everybody else wrong. That is not what the message came to do. The message didn't come to say, look how wrong everybody else is. The message came to point us back to Jesus Christ and to the perfect word. But somehow people around the message come with a different motive many times, it seems. But our motive, our goal should be to point people back to Jesus Christ. Amen. To point people back to the Word and to create an atmosphere where Jesus Christ can come and do something in the lives of individuals. Thank Amen. I can't preach a revival. Brother Bram said the pastor doesn't bring revival in his briefcase. I can't save anybody. I can't heal anybody. I can't raise anybody from the dead. I can't perform miracles. I can't come and give you a revelation, as Brother Trevor said the other night. I can't give you a revelation. I can't come and fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. But what I can do with the help of the Lord is to create an atmosphere where he would be welcome, to where he can come and to where he could do the healing and he could do the miracles and he could do the saving and he could do the filling and he could restore families and friendships and he could come on the scene and do whatever that he would desire of tonight. So we need to keep in an atmosphere where he can be welcome. We need to stay in a atmosphere that the world knows nothing about. You say, I don't know about that, Brother Nathan. God's powerful. God can do whatever he wants, regardless of the atmosphere, regardless of the people, regardless of their stubbornness. God's God. He can do what he wants. Well, then why in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, did it say he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief? You see, Brother Branham tells us when it comes to demonology, he said that spirits, evil spirits and demons, whether it's sickness, whether it's demons in the spiritual realm, whatever it be, he said they're powerless unless they have someone to dwell in. And then he takes it a step further and he says, while we're in that strain of thought or vein of thought, he said the Holy Spirit is the same way, where he's looking for somebody that he can work through. The enemy is looking for somebody that he can work through, somebody that he can use. He's looking for somebody he can torment or upset, or somebody he can attack physically or spiritually or mentally. And unless he can enter into a human being, that's why they cried out there in Gadara and said, oh, don't send us out into just the midst of nowhere, but send us over into this herd of swine here. They needed a vessel to be able to work through. And the Holy Spirit tonight is seeking and searching for those that he can work through. We read it so many times. Brother Bram said, he has no lips but our lips, no hands but our hands, no feet but our feet. And then we think that God is just going to go and just take care of everything. We're just going to sit back and have a vacation. But God is looking for somebody that will yield themselves so that he can do the work through them. Amen. Oh my, if we could just yield tonight. You say, well, I'm not the pastor, Brother Nathan. I didn't say for you to be the pastor. I said, yield. Yield to what God is calling you to do. Maybe God will never call you to be a pastor. He might call you to be a missionary. He may call you to be a witness on a job. He may call you just to live a good life, to walk down the aisles of Walmart or Kroger. He may call you to be an encourager, to sit on a pew and reach over and shake somebody's hand and tell them that you're praying for them, to call them in the middle of the night sometime, even when the devil's trying to tell you, don't call them. You're crazy. You're going to wake them up. But something keeps impressing. Call them and tell them that quote you just heard, or call them and read them that scripture that you just read. And they pick up the phone. You say, I'm sorry to call so late, but God impressed it on my heart to do this. And they say, you'll never know what an answer to prayer that was. You see, God works on both ends of the line.
Amen.
And God is working and pressing and calling and trying to find anybody that he can that will yield themselves to him. The problem is many times we let the devil talk us out of it.
Right.
Oh, no, that... people would think I'm crazy. Let them think you're crazy. Amen. They thought all the Old Testament saints were crazy. They thought all the New Testament saints were crazy. Why? Because they were living in an atmosphere that the world knew nothing about.
Amen.
Amen. Maybe some of you thought Brother Tao was, am I pronouncing that right, Brother Trevor? Is it Tao or Tao?
Yeah, one of those.
One of those. Amen. That's what I thought. I knew it was one of those. when he stood up the Sunday morning and he was rejoicing and praising the Lord and clapping his hands. And in my mind, you know, the enemy's telling me, oh, he's distracting somebody from what you're trying to say. But yet I felt like God was doing something. So I didn't try to correct it or ask him to sit down or anything because I felt like God was moving. And when I found out what was going on, I said, well, goodness gracious, brother, I'd have been standing and clapping and praising too.
Right.
So sometimes somebody that's sitting beside you, they might look at you and say, what's going on with this guy? But if they knew what was going on with this guy or that gal, maybe they'd be the one that was standing getting excited.
Amen.
Amen. Something about it living in an atmosphere that the world knows nothing about.
Amen.
Living in an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can lead you and guide you and tell you, go pray for this person and go do this and go do that. Oh my, there's something about it. How could you explain it to the world? They would think you're crazy, but really they're the ones that are going into insanity. Right. And the only ones in their right mind is the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Divine Love, again, 1956, he says, what type of an atmosphere should we live in? In a consoling, soothing, healing atmosphere we should live in. You want to be a help to your children? You want to be a help to your spouse? You want to be a help to the church? You want to be a help to your loved ones or to your backslidden friends? I'll tell you tonight, quoting like a machine gun down their throat and jumping up and down and hollering at him will not produce a Christian life in their life. It will not produce something that they have the desire to have and to be more like. But being legalistic and telling them you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong because you don't do it my way, it'll never produce an atmosphere. But he said, what atmosphere should we live in? A consoling, soothing, healing atmosphere.
Amen.
If we could live in that atmosphere, that's the atmosphere that'll win souls to Christ. He said, with our hearts constantly in prayer, with a deep love for every person we come in contact with. What an atmosphere. Oh my. We hear him many times talking about the maniac in Portland. Here he is standing there ministering. I was just reading about it the other night to the children. And here a man comes busting through the back door and walking at a fast pace up towards the pulpit. And Brother Branham looks, and in his humanity and in his mental intellect, he begins to think, maybe the man's coming to give me a message or to tell me about an emergency case or something. The man gets closer, and all of a sudden, preachers begin to scatter on this side of the platform and that side of the platform.
Right.
And he put a preacher in the hospital just recently because there was something about him that he hated preachers. And so he comes up on the platform, and he makes not so much the physical man to the physical man, but the demon in this man makes a challenge to the Holy Spirit in the other man, and these two atmospheres collide on the platform. And he says, I tonight I'll break every bone in your body. You're a deceiver, and you're this, and you're a snake in the grass. And he begins to call him all kinds of things. And Brother Branham said he felt sorry for the man.
Right.
He didn't want to hate him. He didn't want to take him out in the backyard and whoop up on him. He said, I felt sorry for him. Here, this man, maybe years before, had been a good man. Maybe he'd been a family man. Maybe he'd been a husband. Maybe he'd been a daddy. And now so possessed with this demon spirit. And he said the man spit in his face and drew back to hit him. And Brother Branham said, he started to say, now don't do that, sir. And he said, but the words that came out were, because you've challenged the Holy Spirit tonight, you'll fall at my feet. And the man said, we'll see whose feet I fall at. And he pulled back to strike Brother Branham. And all of a sudden, he entered into an atmosphere that the world knows nothing about. And he began to spin around and get all distorted and distracted and falls right at Brother Branham's feet, literally laying across his feet. And some policemen come to Brother Branham. They said, is he delivered? No. He worships that devil. Is he dead? No. Are you okay? Well, if you could get him off my feet, it'd be nice. And these policemen pick the man up and carry him off of his feet and out of the building. And Brother Branham says, I just turned around to the audience. I said, as I was saying, Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, he's just preaching, and he gets interrupted, and these two atmospheres collide, and the Holy Spirit accepts the challenge of the enemy, and he just turns back to go ahead and preach the rest of his sermon. I said, as I was saying, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and a man sitting in a wheelchair just raised up, and a lady on the stretcher, and no, everything in there was healed right there. No prayer line. No prayer, didn't lay hands on anybody, but what was it? An atmosphere was created, and the enemy was defeated, and when those other demons recognized that the chief demon was defeated, they scattered. Faith, 1956, what was it? The chief of that tribe of demons had made the challenge and lost it, you see, and that's when the Spirit of God struck the building and everything was healed. Again, demonology, 1953, and at that time when all them demons had seen their chief man defeated, they just began to raise up out of wheelchairs, cots, stretchers, and everything else and walk. That was the end of the meeting. Everybody was healed and walked out. That was it, everything. See, just now, you see, when Satan was defeated there, the whole audience believed with one accord and went out. Now, if Satan is defeated in one case, why can't they do the same thing, see? If Satan was defeated in Portland and that happened, and we've been looking at it, God's not a respecter of persons. If he can be defeated in one case, then why can't he be defeated tonight? Now, the rest of the service, some of it may seem a little repetitious to you, but I just want to remind the devil of a few things tonight, if that's okay. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's raised from the dead at this point. This is immediately before he tells them, go in all the world and preach the gospel, and they shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover, and to baptize, and all these commandments that he gives the disciples. He comes back, and he's raised from the dead. Now, before he raised from the dead, he didn't say that all power in heaven and earth was given unto him, because death, hell, and the grave had not yet been defeated. But after the resurrection, now he not only has the keys to the kingdom, he has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He's not just able to deal with a believer, but now he has power. All power in heaven and earth is given to him. He's defeated death. He's defeated hell. He's defeated the grave. And now Satan is a defeated enemy. All the power that Satan had because of the fall at this point in time was lost. You say, but people are still dying, Brother Nathan. That's right. Until the millennium, they will, because the sin curse, nobody has lived 1,000 years to prove. And God is still allowing death and sickness and things to go on until the fullness of time should come. He's allowing Satan to do that, but all the power is resting in his authority, his full authority. Amen. Satan had a right before because of the fall, because the blood and bulls and goats was not enough to cleanse men. Satan had a right to throw it in our face and say, hey, you can go down and sacrifice a lamb every year, but you'll never be able to come into full fellowship with God again. But yet once the lamb was slain and came on the cross and died, the blood of Jesus Christ being shed in itself was enough to cleanse sin, but yet it wasn't enough to prove completely and fully that the sin curse had been broken. And had he just died and shed his blood, that wouldn't have been enough. But when he rose again on the third day, all power in heaven and earth given to him, the proof of the resurrection, coming forth victorious, not just to say, hey, I have power over death, hell, and the grave, but he proved that he had power over death, hell, and the grave. And now he didn't say, well, Satan's got power in this region of the kingdom, and I got power over here, and Satan's still got power down in hell and on earth, but I've got power up in heaven. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. How much power?
All.
Questions and answers on Hebrews 19:57. Brother Bram said, if there's a God up there besides him, he's powerless. If God and Jesus are two separate persons, then you're serving a God somewhere that's powerless. You can get quiet tonight. It's okay. I'm just reading what the prophet said. If it's a Trinitarian doctrine or a two lords doctrine, then you're serving a God that's powerless, because Jesus said he had all power in heaven and on earth. So if they're two different persons, my Jesus is stronger than your God, whoever it is, whatever you want to name him, Billy Bob or Joe or whatever you want to call him. If there's a God up there beside him, he's powerless. See, there could be no other God. All powers of heavens and earth lays in his hands. Again, the Sardesian church, age 1960, all the power, then God is powerless if he's another person. Now, you can argue with Brother Branham if you want, and you can disagree with Jesus if you want, but I'll take Jesus at his word that all power in heaven and earth was given unto him, and so that means that he could be no one else but God himself. And if we believe anything else differently, then we're serving a powerless God. But there's still power tonight in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He has power to save. He has power to heal. He has power to raise from the dead. I don't have any power tonight, but I do have authority. I have the authority of the word that they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. I have the authority of the word that if there's any sick among you, you can anoint them with oil and let the elders come forward and pray the prayer of faith and they shall recover. I have the authority of the word that it's still not just back there on the day of Pentecost, but it was to them and to their children and as many as are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, that the gift of the Holy Spirit is still in effect tonight just as much as it was on the day of Pentecost. All power in heaven and earth was given unto him. Brother Branham says in All Things 1962, God hates a powerless religion. And any religion today that hasn't got Christ in it is powerless. But any religion that Christ in and is under his own blood, and it's got power in it.
Amen.
See, the problem is today with our theology, because we hold on to denominational traditions and things, and if you try to just make him a person of the Trinity, what it does is it tries to take away part of the deity of Jesus Christ. Well, he was a good man. Well, he was a prophet. He was this, he was that. He was God, or he was the greatest deceiver the world has ever known.
Right.
You say, oh, but Brother Nathan, he wept there by the side of the grave. That's right. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth.
Right.
He said, I always do that which pleaseth the Father, that pleased the Holy Spirit down on the inside of him. I wasn't able to say that. I don't want to hurt your feelings tonight. Brother Branham or anybody, any other prophet, priest or king wasn't able to say that. But there was one man that could say, I always do that, that the Spirit's wanted me to do. Why? Because he was the fullness of the Spirit.
Amen.
And so now when we try to pull Christ down and make him just a second or a third person of the Trinity, or when we try to pull him down and say, well, you know, we believe this about Jesus, and then you try to push Brother Branham up and make him equal with Jesus. What are you doing? You're robbing part of the deity from Jesus Christ, and you're making it a powerless religion.
Amen.
Because all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. So if you try to take part of that power away, there's nowhere else that you can place it except in your imaginary mind somewhere. And so what do? When we begin to mix our ideas or denominational traditions or somebody else's opinion with the word, it makes it a powerless religion. And Brother Branham said, God hates a powerless religion.
Amen.
Again, in all things, God hates powerless religion. It's got to have power in it. It's got to have sincerity. Sincerity brings power. Sincerity brings real worship, not forms, but genuine power. Worship to know that you've passed from death unto life. It's more than a set of rules.
Yes, sir.
It's more than a list of legalistic do's and don'ts. It's more than a membership card. It's more than you got to be in this geographic location or attend this church or sit under this preacher or follow this man. It's more than that. What do we do by all that? We make it a powerless religion. But when we recognize all power is given unto him, it's not in our hands to say who's going to make it and who's not going to make it. It's in his hands. It's not in our hands to say who's got the revelation and who doesn't. It's in his hands. It's not in my hands tonight to say who's healed and not healed. It's in his hands. All power in heaven and earth is given unto him. And when you try to take away any of that power from him and place it on somebody else, you're robbing the very deity away from God and you're making him powerless. Not that he's powerless, but for you, he's powerless.
Amen.
That's why so many sit and stare, and they can talk about what he used to do and what he used to be and how he used to act, but they can't produce what he's doing now because they try to place it on some person or personality or some idea or doctrine, and they rally around that, and they take some of the deity off of Jesus Christ and place it over somewhere else. This is what we believe. Well, if it contradicts what this said, then I don't care what you believe. It's powerless without him. Again, in Pardon, 1963, God don't like a powerless religion. God does not want that. God wants to perform. God wants to show himself alive. Our very hopes is the resurrection. God is longing to show the proof of his resurrection. God is longing to prove and to vindicate that he's still, Hebrews 13 and 8, before the people. He wants to show himself alive. He wants to perform. What was that that was interpreting to our brother on Sunday morning? That wasn't just his imagination. It was God trying to show forth the proof of his resurrection that he's not dead, but he's alive forevermore. He was trying to prove not that our brother from Africa was something, not that the brother that was preaching was something, not that the people that were here sitting in the service were anything, but that to prove that Jesus Christ can still act the way that he did on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
That he's not confined to our traditions. That he's not confined to our man-made ideas and our way of figuring it out and trying to put God in a box and say, well, I guess it's okay if he works in this circumference of my comfort level. He'll work any way that he wants, through anybody he wants, wherever he wants, whenever he wants. But us in our humanity many times try to limit him to some preconceived notion or some preconceived idea. But as time goes on and as the Holy Spirit continues to move, we're going to find out more and more. He's not confined to anything. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Church Age Book, page 126. He said when the church allowed herself to move away from the original, like Adam and Eve, death set in. There's no strength in her. Now notice he's talking about the church here, but we'll talk about the bride in a moment. As Brother Trevor was referring to, the true vine and the false vine. Here, he's talking on the church, but in a moment he'll speak of the bride. But when he talks of the church, he says, there's no strength in her. She has become a monstrosity. The minute the church moved toward form and ceremony and toward priesthood by organizing the ministers into a group that decided leadership apart from the Holy Spirit and his word. That very moment, death entered and she started to get sick. And as she got sick, she changed to a powerless group of people whose only weapon was argument. You ever meet any of those around the message? Their only power is to argue and debate. And say, well, bless God, I believe this over here. And bless God, I believe that over there. Like I talked about last year, the man in Finland that approached me and blasted me and said all kinds of things about how wrong I was and everything. I wanted to just ask the man, if I'm so wrong and you're so right, then why didn't you help your wife for the last 24 years? But all he had was, the only weapon he had was argument and nothing to back it up with. But when the Holy Spirit comes and begins to do something and begins to vindicate, then it's more than just an argument. It's more than just a person. It's more than just somebody waving their flag, whatever their flag or flavor or group is. It's more than that. But when it just becomes an argument that, well, bless God, I'm going to go down to McDonald's or Denny's or Waffle House or somewhere and I'm going to straighten them out today. I'm going to slap down my folder of quotes and I'm going to prove this one wrong and prove that one wrong. If your only weapon of power is argument, then you're powerless.
Amen.
But when the Spirit comes and begins to produce something, that's a different story. She can produce nothing in the Spirit, for her hopes were built on program and not on faith in his word. They sowed program, so they reaped program. They sowed perversion, so they reaped perverted children. What will the next 20 years hold? Some of the things being sowed around the message. When we sow division and we sow discord and we sow denominational behavior and we sow rules and legalism, what will we reap? But let's look at another group that he talks about. in page 15 of the Church Age book. I believe Brother Trevor read it Sunday night, but we'll read it again. Now remember this. Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. That means that when you go and you pick up the book of Acts and you begin to read and you begin to see the characteristics of the way they acted and the way they taught and the way they ran their services and the way they treated people and the results that they got supernaturally from God and the people that was saved and filled and all that, then if the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts, then we should be able to look around and see those things being produced. And if we don't, then we need to go back and start over somewhere. Brother Branham said, go back to Pentecost, not back to the denomination, not back to Azusa Street, but back to the day of Pentecost, back to when it originally fell back there in the beginning. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. Now here's the two spirits that he talks about in the church. One is wanting to come and restore back to the original with power, with vindication, with Holy Spirit anointing, with signs and wonders following. And the other spirit is wanting to come and defile it and make it lukewarm and formal and powerless. One with power and one without power. Again, page 15. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works. I thought only Brother Branham could do the greater works. If Brother Trevor convinced you Sunday night, this we're reading isn't the words of Lee Vail. Brother Branham said it's a message from my heart to the hearts of the people. And so he said that he didn't say just that I can do the greater works. Don't get scared tonight. I'm not saying that he didn't do the greater works. We believe that he did. We saw that he did. But he says that she can do the greater works.
All right.
She will be an invincible army.
Amen.
Who will be? She will be. He's not talking about the church now. He's talking about the bride. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church and by God's spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her.
Amen.
He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them.
Amen.
In other words, the gates of hell will have no power over you, but you will have power over them.
Amen.
Why? Because we're fighting a defeated enemy. We're fighting a powerless enemy, but yet we're endued with power from on high. Why? Because it's the same Holy Spirit. Not because Nathan Bryant has power. If anybody comes and tells you they have power, you tell them they're a liar. Because Jesus said all power in heavens and earth was given unto him. But yet, how is he working in this age? Through a bride body.
Amen.
And so it's his works and his power working through her. Not our power. Not by power, not by might, but by his spirit. Not by Nathan Bryan's power, not by David Hoover's power, but by his spirit, saith the Lord.
Amen.
How did Jesus thwart Satan in the desert? If we're going to do this in this age, how did he defeat Satan at every turn? Did he just name it and claim it? Did he jump up and down and get red in the face and say, I rebuke you, I rebuke you, I rebuke you? He kept taking him back to the word. Now, Satan came, and he had the same word. He's quoting the same words of Moses that Jesus is quoting.
All right.
But the difference between Jesus and Satan is that Satan is putting his own interpretation to it.
Right.
Well, it's written, and so if it's written, 2 and 2 must equal 6, so you should be able to do this. He said, but it's also written. What did he do? Instead of just showing the devil his favorite quote, he brought balance by showing him what all the words said.
Amen.
But it's written over here in 1962, but it's also written over here in 64. But it's written over here in 65, but it's also written over here in 57. And what does that do? You mean you're going to get in a quote war and quotes are going to fight quotes? No, no, no. The quotes don't fight quotes. It's somebody's perverted opinion of one quote that makes it look like they fight all the rest. But when you begin to bring in all the rest and you begin to bring in all the scriptures, you find scripture doesn't contradict scripture and quote doesn't contradict quote. But what it is, we like to cut and paste our favorite ones and make them say what we want them to say.
Amen.
But when we take all the word, we find out, oh my, it fits just perfectly together. So Jesus didn't just say, hey, man, that's a good quote, brother. I didn't think about that one. What did you say the other night, Brother Trevor? You be bread or whatever he said. He didn't do that. He didn't just run off on a limb with his perverted brother and say, hey, he had a quote, Brother Hoover.
Uh-huh.
You know, I guess he's right. He read a quote to me and there it was. And so we just sat down and ate some bread together. I just created it. He said, well, that's good, brother. But see, what you're failing to recognize is this other quote over here brings a balance to that and puts it in its right place. My angel shall go before thee, 1953. When you can hit Satan with the scripture, he's just as powerless as he can be. Let me try to hurry. I know we're running out of time. Future Home, 1964. Satan is defeated. I'm going to be an easier teacher than Brother Trevor. Go home and memorize this one. Memorize his too. That's good. But memorize this one. It's a lot easier. Future Home, 1964. Satan is defeated.
Amen.
And when you get out of bed and the devil tells you that you're not saved, you remind him. Future Home, 1964. Satan is defeated.
Amen.
And when you get out of bed and he tells you that you're not bride, you remind him, Satan, you are defeated. And when he tells you that you're sick and you're coming down with something and you've probably contracted some incurable disease and oh my, you got tingling in your feet and warmth in your head and aches in your back and you must have some kind of disease, you remind him, Satan is defeated.
Amen.
God has a provided way, 1962. Right now, let another Pentecost drop down upon this audience. Satan's defeated. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, 1962. Satan is defeated. In the name of Jesus Christ, the blood's been pled. When their eyes were open, they knew him. 1964. Satan is defeated in the presence of Jesus Christ. What is the attraction of on the mountain, 1964? Satan is defeated. The stripes of Jesus Christ heals you. And the presence of Jesus Christ verifies the fact that he's a living today.
Amen.
Ever able to keep every promise that he made.
Amen.
Satan is defeated. And the presence of Jesus Christ verifies it to you. Verifies that he's still Hebrews 13 and 8.
Amen.
Verifies that he still heals the sick. Verifies that he still speaks in tongues. I asked my wife the other night, I said, I have a doctrinal question for you. They said, what's that? I said, well, for all these people that think that tongues have just been thrown completely out of the church and in the sanctuary, they're out of order and they need to be put in a back room. Was the brother, or Sunday morning, was that supernatural being out of order when he spoke in French for about 2 hours there? See, sometimes we have to take other quotes in scriptures to balance things out. A balance. Said, oh my, if only that angel would have taken Brother Teo down to the basement and a little back room, then that would have been in order. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, that's not speaking in tongues. He was just speaking in that man's language. Amen. Brother Bram said, that's what happened on the day of Acts. That's what real speaking in tongues was. Every man heard in their own language. Oh, yes, there's tongues of men and angels, and we interpret, and we know all that, the 9 spiritual gifts. But if you really want to go back to the day of Pentecost, we saw it Sunday morning.
Amen.
Amen. Wasn't out of order. It was perfectly in order. Didn't interrupt the preacher.
Nope.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Convinced and concerned, 1962. They are convinced that Satan is defeated.
putting on the whole armor, 1962. Heavenly Father, we know that Satan is defeated. Our great chief captain, Jesus Christ, is present. Expectations, 1961. Satan, leave them people, come out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. You lose the battle, and they shall be well because God said so. God promised it. We're expecting it, and we go to Calvary's throne because Satan is defeated and God has preeminence. See, a lot of times we go back to Satan's Eden, and we think that Brother Bram is telling us that, well, Satan's the god of this evil age and he's still in control and everything. And that's right. He is in control of this evil age, but we live in a different atmosphere than Laodicea. Amen. The bright age and the Laodicean age were not two different timelines. It was two different atmospheres of people living in the same timeline. Oh, I know we like to say bright age, bright age, bright age because we want to try to figure out who we can put in as our eighth messenger and who we can raise up to do this and who we can raise up to that. There's no messengers past the Laodicean age. It's not another timeline. It's another atmosphere. Amen. If you've been called up into the bright age, it's an atmosphere that the world knows nothing about. It's an atmosphere that you can be right along, right beside. I won't use Brother Layton because he's in the same atmosphere. But you can be walking right along somebody, down through a restaurant, down through a Walmart, down through your job, whatever it is. And you can be just 2 inches away from each other. And one of you walking in the bright age and one of you walking in Laodicea.
Amen.
Still down in Satan's Eden, moping around. Getting drunk on the weekends, getting high on the beginnings of the weeks, getting poor in the middle of the week, wanting to commit suicide by Thursday. And they're walking around in Satan's Eden, and you're walking around with the victory saying, praise the Lord, I'm one of them.
Amen.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. There's going to be a meeting in the air. Walking around victorious in the same geographic location, in the same city, making the same salary. Maybe the doctor telling you the same thing he's telling them. Maybe your lawyer telling you the same thing he's telling them. Maybe your psychiatrist telling you you're crazy. Maybe your friends and your family saying you're nuts. Maybe people walking away from you. But one of you with perfect peace walking through the same timeline, but in a different atmosphere.
Amen.
In a dimension that the world knows nothing about.
Amen.
Let's stand together this evening, if you would. Let me read you this last quote. Oh, my, help us, Lord, not to get so earthbound that we can only see these dimensions that we live in. But, Lord, may we be able to reach out by faith and see that you're moving, that you're still performing the supernatural. Lord, that you're still hearing and answering prayer. That you're still a present tense God. That you're still able to lift people up out of the miry clay into an atmosphere that the world knows nothing of, Father. In an atmosphere where when other people are losing their mind, going insane because of the pressures of life, but yet you've pressurized a group of people for this age. That we can walk with our head up high as a child of the King in an atmosphere of praise and worship and victory. When others are falling to the left and to the right, but yet something about it we know in whom we have believed.
Amen.
Lord, we recognize the proof of your resurrection in our midst, that you're still alive today. That you're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. We love you tonight, Father. Lord, be with us, Father. Help us to recognize the things that we've read tonight, that Satan is truly defeated. That he can huff and he can bluff, but as the prophet said, we're made of stuff that don't bluff. We recognize that he's defeated and that we're victorious, not because that we won the victory, but because you won the victory, because you already paid the price, Father. Help us to recognize that all power in heaven and earth is given unto you, Lord. And so that means that our enemy is powerless. That means that anything that won't yield themselves to you is powerless. But when we can yield to you, Father, then it's not our power, it's not our strength, but it's your power that comes and works through the believer. Help us to recognize it tonight, Lord. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what people have been told, no matter what their worries or their fears, may they recognize, not because Brother Nathan said so, because your word says so. All power in heaven and earth is given unto you, Father.
Lord Jesus, that means that Satan is powerless tonight. Oh, may it sink down in our hearts. Satan is defeated. Not he will be. Not if we can just live good enough, or not if we can just fast long enough or pray hard enough or listen to enough tapes that we can defeat him. He is defeated because you came and you defeated him, Father. Lord, tonight, may your Holy Spirit come. Bind up the brokenhearted, Lord. Heal the sick. Fill the empty. Save the lost, Lord. It's only you that can do it, Lord. But we know tonight, Lord, that you have power to. Lord, as Ruth says so many times in her prayer at night, Lord, we know in your power that you can defeat Satan. That it's a finished work, Lord. Healing is a finished work. Salvation is a finished work. Victory is a finished work. Deliverance is a finished work. Everything that Adam lost, you gained back at Calvary for us, Lord. Oh, help us, Lord. May it not just be words to make us feel good tonight. May it not just be something to make us intellectually smarter tonight, Lord. But may it sink down into our hearts and be a revelation that the enemy is defeated. That we're serving an all-powerful God and we're fighting against a defeated enemy. No weapon formed against us can prosper, Lord. Nothing can separate us from your love. Not depth nor height nor principalities or powers. Nothing, Lord, because you are all powerful. Oh, Lord Jesus, we worship you tonight. We still believe. We still trust, Lord, in you and in your name that there's power in the name of Jesus tonight. Power to heal, power to save, power to deliver. Lord, as I read this last quote to the people, Lord, may it sink down and be more than words. May it be a revelation personally to them. May they hold on to it, Lord, for their healing, for their deliverance, for their victory, for whatever they have need of tonight. May we recognize, Lord, that Satan is defeated, that the Holy Spirit, the shout of the King, is in the camp. In Jesus Christ's name. What is that in your hand, 1955. Brother Bram said, what's in your hand? Satan's defeated. He's exposed, Christians. What about it? None of you are trying to get up off that cot. The devil robbing you. It's a mental condition. The devil says it's a mental condition. Don't you believe him? Jesus Christ defeats a mental condition. He runs the devil from you. If I was in your place, I'd stand up on the cot and off the cot and accept my healing and believe and have faith in God. And the rest of you, whatever's wrong with you, the whole thing's fading out. It looks real like getting milky all around. Put your hand over on each other. You're going, here it is. This is it. There it goes. Oh, Satan, you are defeated. Why don't you put your hand over on somebody tonight? Pray for those beside you there. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, these words that were spoken by the prophet many, many years ago, Lord, but we believe it tonight. We accept by faith that it's a finished work at Calvary. Satan, you're defeated. Not because Nathan Bryant says so, but because the word of Jesus Christ says so. We believe that Jesus Christ rose and that he lives and reigns forevermore. That all power in heaven and earth was given into his hands. That he has power tonight to heal and to save and to fill, to deliver. Lord Jesus, for these that we lay our hands on tonight, Lord, not our power, but your power, may it go to them tonight. Encourage them, strengthen them, whatever phase of their life they're in, Father, give them strength for the journey. Give them victory, give them healing. Give them deliverance, Father, I pray. May they recognize by faith tonight, not because Brother Nathan got up and preached, but because we've looked into the Word and we found that Satan is defeated, that he has no power over the bride, but that all power was given to Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen again. That we believe in the proof of the resurrection that we see in our midst, that he's still alive tonight and that he's still moving and working the same as he did back in the book of Acts. That he's still healing, that he's still delivering, that he's still filling with the Holy Ghost. We accept by faith the finished work at Calvary. Satan, you have no right to hold this people. You're defeated in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no right to bind them by sickness. You have no right to rob their victory. You have no right to withhold their families from the token that they've applied over their lives. You have no right to keep them discouraged and depressed and addicted to things of the world. But we speak in the name of Jesus Christ tonight for victory. Because there's still power in the name of Jesus. We accept it tonight, Father. We speak shalom to this group of people. We speak victory. Not because the vocal cords of a man say so, but because the word of Jesus Christ said so. We accept it tonight. We accept your presence in our midst as an unfailing God that sees and hears and answers prayer. That knows the circumstances of the heart. That knows the circumstances of the individuals, Lord Jesus. We accept it tonight by faith. Move amongst your people, Lord Jesus. Lord, may there be an atmosphere created here tonight. And may each believer step into that atmosphere and recognize they don't have to live bound down by the things of the world, but they can live in an atmosphere that the world knows nothing about. That they can live victorious in the middle of the darkness of Laodicea. That they can live victorious in the middle of their circumstances. Raise us up into a heavenly atmosphere in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we pray tonight, Father. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. If you can accept it tonight, you can go out of here healed. You can go out of here delivered. You can go out of here with your victory that you lost. You can go out of here with the joy of your salvation that somebody with their lies or with their bitterness have tried to rob from you. You can walk out of here a different person tonight than what you came in as. Why? Because Brother Nathan preached a good sermon or because he read a good quote or read a scripture? No, because there's an atmosphere here tonight that a believer can step into, not just on Wednesday night, not just on Sunday morning, but an atmosphere that we can dwell in, an atmosphere we can walk in, an atmosphere we can live in. He's here tonight. Why don't you step into that atmosphere tonight? Oh, let's just worship him. He's worthy of our worship. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you, Father. Oh, to the altar if you want. You don't have to. That atmosphere isn't just on the platform. That atmosphere can be right at your pew. It can be at your desk tomorrow at school or at work. It can be in your car. You can live in that atmosphere. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you tonight, Lord. Oh, enjoy this atmosphere. Just bask in his presence a little while. Hallelujah. Oh, he's worthy of our praise. Have a little conference with
nothing
we
tonight.
Love you, Jesus.
Just have a little conference with the King of Kings in his presence.
We love you, Jesus.
We recognize that he's here in our midst. Why don't you rededicate your life to him tonight? Why don't you pour out everything that's been holding you back?
We love
oh.
sing it to him tonight with all our hearts.
Oh,
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love. Just take a moment to thank him.
Thank you.
We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, Father. Thank you for all you do for us, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Amen. I believe we can sing this tonight. Amen. Go out of here with the victory. Oh, when pains of death seize o'er my soul, unto the Lord.
Be denied.
wrong and there's mistakes here and there. Oh, but praise the Lord, we see vindication being done to prove that Christ, our resurrected Lord, is here. So now I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be denied till my Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied. Well, old Satan said, my Lord was gone and he would not hear my prayer. Oh, but praise the Lord, the work's already done, and Christ my Lord, he is here. So now I would not be.
Sing that like Brother Nathan can, so you just have to bear with the last couple of verses there. I don't want to take any advantage of the opportunity to be up here, so I asked Brother Nathan if I could give a little testimony. I hadn't spoke much to April all day. I've been at work since early this morning. She leaned over at church and said, Ethan doesn't have to wear one of his braces anymore. Yeah. It just thrilled my soul. And so I thought I'd testify, and so the devil's saying, well, he's back there wearing a brace. Yeah, but one less. So one spoonful at a time. So just praising God for moving mountains in people's lives. And so I'm happy tonight. We serve an amazing God. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus before we go.
Lord, I'm amazed. Lord, that you love me. Lord, I'm
the devil mad.
Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. And I said, Satan, we're gonna shout your kingdom down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna shout your kingdom down. Yes, I heard a voice up in heaven say, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, I said, Satan, we're gonna preach your kingdom down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna preach your kingdom down. Well, I heard a voice up in
God bless you. Let's sing it as we go.
Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down.
Shout your kingdom down,
Satan. We're gonna shout your kingdom down.